Now you may say, but don't you think this is the fire of God coming down that's going to do it? Well, I don't doubt that, but I'll tell you this. The Bible says that they will be taken in their own snares. They will be taken in their own wicked devices. They're going to try and use those things against the Lord. The Lord will just turn them against them. He turned the Midianites against themselves. Remember? They will destroy themselves with the inventions they had invented to try to destroy God's people and the Lord himself. You can stand with me if you want to. I'll finish this up. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't want to be in their number when the flesh begins to melt away. I'd rather be right with God. I'd rather walk with the Lord. I'd rather follow his word. You see? Put my trust in him. Let him do a work in my heart to convert my life. See, it's one thing to know these things. But it's quite another thing to have God really do something inside of you to convert you. You see, the Apostle Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. I know him. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What day? The one we're talking about. I want to really bear down on this next week. But right now, we may not get that far. This thing could all wrap up before then. The important thing is you're here today. I believe you're here because you love the Lord. You wanted to hear his word. Now that you've come this far by faith, I trust it's by faith. Let's go the rest of the way. As we pray together, would you just give your heart, just yield your heart, surrender your heart to God, just say, Lord, I'm just giving myself to you, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to live for you in a crooked and perverse world like this. He'll do it. If you're really sincere and you really believe it, he's going to do a work in your life. And then there's more to talk about. If God does that for you, if you hear the voice of God, then you let me know about it. Just don't walk away and act like nothing happened, because I got some more things to tell you. But the Bible tells us we are to repent and to call out to God. That's the first thing we need to do before we do anything else. And when you do that, if you need any help, let us know. And I want to know about it if God is touching your heart. I hope he is. This whole thing is wrapping up. We have been set up. They've tried to destroy us. Thank God for the knowledge and wisdom we have. We could be out there celebrating Earth Day. These other churches in town, many of them are involved in it. God help us. Thank God. This is so different, I know. This is a very different church. There probably isn't another one like it. Within throwing distance, anyway. There just aren't very many like this. And yet there are churches. There are people who are doing the will of God and doing the work of God in many places. And it doesn't take a lot of people to get the job done, but it takes a dedicated people, a believing people, a spirit-filled people. And we need evangelism in a truest sense of the word. But let's start with ourselves by just saying, Lord, help me, fill me with your spirit, and he'll take it from there. God bless you. Amen. We'll see you next time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you open with me to the book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter. We're going to continue where we left off, and I know that if the Lord will help us here, and all goes well and is according to his will, then we should be able to finish the book of Revelation today. Amen. There are a lot of other things I want to preach about. I'd like to just preach on the whole Bible. Amen. But anyway, we have to finish what we have here, and this is exciting. We are in the last days. Isn't that great? Or do you love the world? Have any environmentalists here that don't want to leave? No, I don't think we do. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. So we are here to praise the Lord. We are here to prepare for the Lord's return. I believe that Jesus, the same Jesus that left the Mount of Olives, will so come in like manner as they saw him go, according to the word of God. Praise the Lord. We are going to start with prayer, and then we'll go into chapter 22 of the book of Revelation. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer this morning, thanking you for this gathering of your people, thanking you, Lord, that through the power of your name, we are sustained by your spirit. I pray, O God, that you would help us today to have strength within. I pray, O Lord, that you would give us ears to hear, that you would give us wisdom, knowledge and understanding and an appreciation for your word. I pray, O Lord, that every wicked spirit would now be bound and cast out and put to flight. Let your angel chase every wicked spirit, even according to thy word. I pray, O Lord, that every person here would receive complete deliverance, healing, blessing, and that, O Lord, we would rejoice in the hope of our salvation this day. We look to you as the author and finisher of our faith, the bright and the morning star, the everlasting one. I pray, O God, that you would guide and direct us in all of this. Give us wisdom now, I pray, wise and understanding hearts, that we might give you the glory, the praise, the honor, and do your will as we walk in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Be thou with us, O Lord. We humbly ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to chapter 22. I'm going to start out by reading verses 1 through 5. Now, I had a lot of things to say about those verses last time. As a matter of fact, it took the whole time, and we went way over time. But what I'm going to do is just read them, and then we're going directly to Zechariah 14. Do you remember? That's where I left off, and I wanted to go into more detail on that. But let's start out with 1 through 5. Revelation 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? No more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I just want to say one thing in passing here, in that last verse, verse 5. Notice the mention of a candle here. They have no need of the candle, and it goes on to explain, because there's going to be light. I just want to say this. The only purpose for a candle is to give light. It's never to be used in a religious service. If the power goes out, it's fine to light a candle so you can see what you're doing. But that's the only purpose of a candle. We have to be very careful with candles because they're a powerful form of an expression of witchcraft. It comes from ancient times, Egypt, Babylon. And, you know, in these craft sales and stores and so forth, they like to sell you candles with decorations around them or a little wreath around them. We know better than all that, don't we? You never want any of that stuff. I don't know why I said that, but I'm just thinking of that right now. And beware of those things. By the way, as long as I've mentioned that, this is the end of April. And tomorrow night is the biggest witchcraft day in the whole calendar year. It's Beltane Eve, New Year's Day in witchcraft. In Wicca, Wicca witchcraft, Druid witchcraft, they all use it. The New Age movement celebrates. And, of course, the state of Colorado is almost completely taken over by the New Age. And their primary area is a little town called Manitou Springs, which is near Colorado Springs. And there is a creek down there, Credence Creek, which is where many of them gather together. And of course, they go off into the woods and they have their ritualistic sacrifices and so forth. In fact, there is a rock group, I don't know if they're still going or not, called Credence Clearwater Revival. John Fogerty, this is where they got their start, by meeting there in those areas. It's a witch coven, you see, part of a coven. A lot of the musical groups are portions of covens. And you might say, what does that have to do with us? We're not involved in any of that. We're here to fight it. We're here to expose it. We're here to resist it. When we know about it, we have to do something about it. And the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So what we do is take authority over the wickedness. We bind it and we break its power in Jesus' name, because I still believe that the power of God is infinitely greater than all the power of darkness put together. Satan is a created being, you see? He is a creature. He was created by the Creator. There is only one Creator. Everything else is created, you see? We have to understand that. And when we know these things, we fight the battles. I know there are a lot of churches that laugh and scoff. It doesn't matter. I don't even believe it. There are very few warriors today. Very few people who care enough to take time to pray, to bind the wicked activities that are going on in this world. And I'll tell you, they're all around us. It's closing. You might not know it yet, but it's closing in from all sides. You see? By the way, watch your children, because they'll go after the children. And if you don't pay enough attention to them and instruct them and work with them, you may find that you're losing them. God forbid. But it can happen. It's happened before. It could happen again. Don't take anything for granted. Fight the battles. Pray. Get a hold of God. Inform the children. Get involved. You see? Praise God. I just want to tell you, we're in the last days. Now, by the way, that group I'd mentioned, Creedence Clearwater Revival, they came out with that song, Bad Moon Rising. That's what this is all about. It's a prophetic song where he just lists off all this stuff that's coming, all this destruction. You see, and of course, the bad moon rising, they love the bad moon to rise. Bad to them is good. Good to them is bad. Remember that. Whenever you hear a witch talking or a Satanist, there's a big, big difference between a witch and a Satanist. But whenever they talk and they talk about something as being good, that's evil. You know, people get confused on that. When they talk about something as being evil, that's you. That's this book. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. They consider all that evil. In fact, they teach that Jesus Christ is the God of evil because he won't let you do the things that you would like to do. Because he says, thou shalt not. Well, I'm glad he says, thou shalt not. When I walk along and I see a great big power transformer, I see a sign up there that says, warning, caution, high voltage. And a big skull and crossbones saying, if you touch this, that's going to be you shortly. There'll be nothing left to you but skull and bones. You see, if you touch that big transformer there. I want to know that. I want to know that that thing is supercharged so that if I touch it, it'll kill me. I'm glad for that. Sin destroys. God says, thou shalt not. He says it for a very good reason. People want to live in a permissive society. They want to be able to do all kinds of things, whatever their little heart so desires. And what happens as a result? Alcoholism, venereal disease, host of different sicknesses, an entire array and myriad of all kinds of evils come in, and people are destroying themselves, but they'll do it so that they can have their joy, their thrill, their good feeling, and their supposed liberty. But I'll tell you, there's no liberty in sin. The only liberty I know of is in the Holy Ghost. Sin is bondage. Sin binds you. Sin will tear you down. You can see example after example of those who said, I gotta be me, I've gotta be free. And they're torn apart, and they're chained down, and they can't get away. You see? That is Satan's lie. It's his deception. There is no freedom in sin. It's slavery. It becomes your master, and you're bound with its chains. You see? I don't know how I got off on this, but that's the way it is. Anyway, pray. Believe God. If you believe in prayer, then pray. If you don't believe in prayer, I don't have too much to say to you. Because we should all know better than that. It works. God told us to do it. God said if we would do it, that he would answer those prayers. It's not difficult to get an answer to prayer. It never is. It's difficult to get people to pray. The answers come easy. You see? You may say, now wait a minute. Do they always? Yeah. But I asked for something and didn't get it. That means God said wait, or he said no. That's all. You got the answer. Don't ever say God didn't answer my prayer. Because that's falsely accusing God. He said he would hear us, and he said he would answer. And if I didn't get it, he said, just hold off a while. Or he said, no, you can't have it. But my God is faithful. He will always answer those prayers. 100% of the time. All right? Just to set the record straight. Has the Lord ever answered prayers for you? Oh, sure he has. And some of them are obvious. You ask for something, and bang, there it is. And you marvel at it. You see? But there are those times when you ask for something and it's not there. You know what the Bible says? In all things give thanks. Thank you, Lord, it must have been the wrong time, or thank you, Lord, it must have been something that would have hurt me or destroyed me, so I appreciate you editing that for me and saying no or wait. Anyway, praise God, pray. because there's a lot of evil going on all over the world. Beltane is their big day. May the 1st, May Day, the day that I used to run around the neighborhood hanging up little baskets, right? And they'll put up the maypole, a big maypole, and they'll have flowers around it. You see, I give God the glory. As Brother Don was testifying this morning, I appreciate that, about the beautiful things in nature, the blossoms coming forth, and the pleasant scents of the flowers starting, all the green grass, the fields. I give God the glory, you see. I'm not going to worship the creation. I'm not going to be a nature worshiper. I give God the glory. I'm going to worship the creator, not the creature. Now, creature doesn't mean a living thing. Creature is anything created, whether it's alive or not. Anything is created is creature. I looked it up yesterday in this big dictionary about that thick that I've got. And the scripture tells us in Romans chapter 1 that professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. But what did they do? They worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You see? And what these witches do, and these environmentalists, now there are a lot of people concerned about the environment that are not witches. I know that. But they're being pulled into a trap by those that are the extremists in all of these different movements. And they're becoming engulfed in something they don't even understand. And what I want you to understand is that all of this worship of the environment and all of this sort of thing, they're not giving God the glory. I don't hear it. They're saying, we have to fix it up. We have to clean it up. We have to make a better world for ourselves. It's all we, myself, me, myself, and I personally. And none of the glory goes to God. We got to clean up the river. We got to clean up the forest. We've got to clean up the air. We've got to stop acid rain. Those are the big priorities. But all over the world, on May 1st, that's the big day. And the night before, April 30th, Beltane Eve, is an extremely wicked time, made wicked by the wicked deeds of men. To me, it's another day. I just praise God. But I'm going to take some time out to pray and to bind. I'm going to take some time out to inform people as the Lord directs. I just want you to be aware of it. This is their big day. Generally, if they have a project to launch, they'll do it on May 1st. One of the biggest projects they ever launched was communism. When did they do it? May 1st. And of course, the parades will be in all the communist nations, but they're having trouble right now because the Illuminists are through with them. Communism has served its purpose. It's run its course. They don't need it anymore. Now it's unify the world, you see. Now it's put it all together so it can all be one in a socialistic supposed democracy. And I'm not here to give you a political science lesson. I just wanted to say a few things so you know what's happening. Be wary. Be watchful. Just stay in the book of God, and when you see evil, resist it, pray against it, come against it, and believe the Lord. He will sustain us. Praise God. Oh, by the way, in case you haven't noticed that our economy is falling apart, inflation keeps increasing. Isn't that something? Well, it's around 8 to 9% right now, but it's going to climb pretty fast. And the way you know that is because you just have to look at how much national debt there is, how much leftover debt has to be monetized by the Federal Reserve and rolled over, something that if you and I did, they'd throw us in jail for it. But they keep doing that every year. You know, it's easy if you don't have enough money. If you spend too much, what do? Print more. If you have the power to do it, you turn the presses on, you get some more. And now they've monetized nearly $1 trillion, which means there's 1 trillion more pieces of paper chasing after the same goods and services that we had before. And so prices always have to go up, up, up. Money becomes worth less when there's more of it for the same amount of goods and services. And they just keep monetizing and rolling it over and rolling it over and rolling it over. And the crash will come. And I wonder what people will do. What will people, as unstable as they are, as spoiled, rotten as they are, so used to getting anything they want, and if they don't have the money, they'll take their plastic card out and get it with that. And if that doesn't work, they'll steal it somewhere, knock somebody over the head and take it. Look at the youth of our country. Why am I saying these things? I want to convince you, just by your surroundings, that it can't go on much longer. We have a drugged up, spoiled, perverted people all around us. Now, isn't it wonderful to be rescued out of that by the Word of God, by the Spirit of the Lord, by the power of the blood, through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Now that I've given you that side of it, let's look at this beautiful hope that we have. Amen. I read these verses, 1 through 5, and the Scripture tells us that the Lord will give us light in verse 5, and it says, they shall reign forever and ever. Thank God. Let's look at Zechariah 14. I was in that portion of Scripture last week and had to hurry with it. I don't like to hurry with Scripture. Amen. Let's consider this light of the Lord here. In Zechariah 14, I'm going to pick up with verse 4. And I'm going to read down to about verse 12, I believe. But I want to comment as I go. It says, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Praise God. You know, some people wonder about the manner of the Lord's return. How will the Lord return? Will he really come back to the Mount of Olives? Yep. Sure he will. Why? It has to be so. But there's good news with this in regard to that, in addition to just the good news of him coming back. Let's look at this and put it all together. Let me read a couple more verses. Verse 5 says, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Ezel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Watch the grammar there. Notice what he's saying. The Lord will come, but he's not coming alone. All the saints. All of them. Notice now, with thee. It doesn't say with him. With thee. Do you realize what this verse does? It says this means you, the believer of this book, the Spirit-filled Christian, the born again. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be born again? It says, with thee. When I read that, I just get goosebumps. See, because the Bible says it's all right to have goosebumps in the Lord. Amen. In case you're wondering, it's perfectly permissible. I think that's what they are. Praise God. But I'll tell you something. The Bible says that Jesus Christ will come back to this earth. Now, something's going to happen first. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 about that. But before we get too many irons in the fire, while we're turning in our Bible to 1 Thessalonians, let's stop at the book of Acts chapter 1. And we'll see about this Mount of Olives here. In Acts chapter 1, it says in verse 6, and I'm reading through verse 11, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now the question that was asked here is, now is the kingdom going to be set up on earth? This is what they're looking for. This is the disciples asking. They knew that the kingdom would be restored. Of course, when the kingdom is restored, remember the beautiful promises God made to Abraham and to David about perfection? Well, the Apostle Peter seemed to understand that to be a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, to live in a city whose builder and maker is God. Amen. One that the Lord built and not man. You see? He's talking about the new recreated heaven and earth. Come on, when we go to our final reward, and I guess I can say that because the Bible says that every man's going to be rewarded according to his works. There's one that some people don't like because their works aren't good. All right? Let's just understand that. The Bible says we'll be judged according to our works. And by the grace of God, we have the power to do good and not evil. So let's not do evil. Let's do good. Amen. When it is in thine hand to do so. When the power is there, do good. And God, that's Lord help us. That's the reason why we have the Holy Ghost. That's the reason why God has given us His Spirit, to give us the power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And as many as believed on Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Power, power, power. I don't like all this talk about weakness. Oh, I'm just a frail little old human. Right? Sin always comes my way. Well, get out of that way. And if you're frail, get rid of the frailty. The Bible says those that are feeble among them shall be as David. Get that sling out. Get those rocks out and go after the giant. Kill him. Amen. High tech. Praise God. But get him. You'll notice when David went out after that giant, he didn't pussyfoot around and just, oh, I don't know, you know, back up a little this way and that way. And hey, he took that rock out and put it in a sling. The Bible says he ran at the giant. That guy didn't know what hit him, literally. I said he didn't know what hit him. God was in that little rock there. That giant stands up there, I'm going to take care of you, buddy. I'm paraphrasing. I'm gonna feed you to the birds. You're an insult to my fighting capabilities. I imagine he could even growl. Big 9 foot, 6.5 inch. Come on, these guys watch that all-star wrestling. Those little puny things. This guy could have taken them, busted them in half, and ate them for breakfast. Hulk Hogan and some of these guys. Come on. That's nothing compared to Goliath. Goliath could have made a paper airplane out of him, sailed him away. I'm telling you, he was a big guy. Spear like the shaft of a weaver's beam. And here's little David. Didn't even have a sword. He just had a little sling and a few little river rocks. Put one in there and started building up a little centrifugal force, something that they didn't discover till later, but didn't discover what it was. And he's out there swinging that thing around, and he ran at the giant. Come on. He killed him. The giant was saying, I'm going to get you. I'm going to feed you the birds. I'm going to I. And where did he hit him? Right between the eyes. Down he went. And he took his sword, Goliath's own sword, and cut his head off with it. And when that happens, the battle's over, let me tell you. You're about finished. What's that to us? Bible says that they that are feeble among them shall be as David. Christians are not weak. They're the strongest people in the world when they're right with God, I'm telling you. There are none stronger. There are none better. There are none more mentally balanced. There are none more capable. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you have that kind of hope, you see, you're not unstable. You're not crazy. You're the ones that aren't. The ones that are don't know that, you see. They think they are, and you know they're not. And they think you are, but you know you're not, and God knows you're not. And that's what really matters. And don't ask me to repeat it. All right? Just understand that. Praise God. We know where we're going. We know where we came from. We know what we came out of. We know what we're going to. I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Nothing ambiguous about it. Nothing uncertain about it. It's not a maybe. It's a definite. Praise God. We need that kind of determination. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Amen. Be not weary in well-doing, for ye shall reap in due time if you faint not. You know, there's no place in the Bible that says you can sin a little bit. It's all forward and conquer and win the battle. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. All of it is overcoming power, because we need to realize it's God in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. As the Apostle Paul said, yet not I, but it's Christ within me. You see? I'll tell you, that's why people get uncomfortable around you. They look at you and they don't even know what they're seeing. But the Spirit's in them. Realize the Holy Ghost is in you. And God's looking right through your eyeballs, right at them. Come on. They don't like that. You're a threat. You're in the way. Tough. So be it. Where am I here? Acts chapter 1. Okay. Verse 7 says, and he said unto them, now he's answering their question about the kingdom. Is the kingdom coming at this time? Is it going to be restored on earth? Notice the answer. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons. Oh, there's so many people need to read that and take it to heart. God said it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. I don't care how many verses they try to twist. God said it is not for for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. That's where it stays. Otherwise, how could he come as a thief? How can he come unannounced if people got it all figured out? Huh? I wonder what this woman's going to do that said the end of the world is coming by the end of the month. Has all these people living in holes in the ground out west there. And charging them rent. If the world's coming to an end, what's she charging them rent for? Now, with my meager intelligence, I'm not that dumb. Even I've got that one figured out. She knows the world's not coming to an end. She's collecting a lot of rent by convincing a lot of people that it is. What does she call herself? Elizabeth Clare Prophet? Something like that? Well, I'll tell you. Yeah, I'll tell you, there are a lot of charlatans out there that try to make the real thing look foolish, and they're set up by the devil. Any guy who will sit there, I saw him one time. I was over in Pickett with visiting a person that goes to our service over there, and he's got satellite television. I can't imagine why people want that, because, what is it, 100 and some stations? I don't know how many, but he's got that. Anyway, he said, you want to see something? I said, well, that depends. Anyway, he says, it's this preacher. I said, oh, really? Well, put him on, I've seen a lot of them, and he put him on, and that guy was trying to put his audience on. Anyway, here's this guy just sitting there with that. He had a funny hat on. He had a cigar hanging out of his mouth, smoke curling up around his eyes. And he just sat there and stared. Not a word was said. And you know how long it took me to figure him out? A split second. And he's sitting there. And finally he says, get out them checkbooks. Just like that. Get out them checkbooks. He says, you want to hear me talk, you pay. Now, who in their right mind, well, who would be so extremely stupid as to send him a nickel? But he gets millions. You know why? Because he's demonic. And because demons and people respond and support him. And then he'll have these scenes. I didn't see this. Another guy told me about it. Half-naked women riding around in a chariot pulled by his big horses riding around his ranch. And they'll still send him money. Well, it's the way of the world. It kind of tells you something, doesn't it? The devil has his messengers out there, too. He's got his activities going. And I'll tell you, don't worry about deception with that guy. I don't think anybody here. See, that's what's great about knowing the truth. It's impossible for the elect to get into that great, gigantic deception at the end. Amen. Anyway, he says in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's good. That's where we live. Way on the other side of the world. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Now note these words. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, not Maitreya, not Branham, not anybody else, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now, where did he leave from? He left from the Mount of Olives. How do we know that? The next verse. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. That's about a quarter of a mile, unless you were a Pharisee. They had ways around that. The Talmud said they could take their cloak, that outer garment, off and lay it down and stand on it and say, this is my home now, and walk another quarter mile. Because their Talmud said he can only travel a quarter mile from home. So you just lay your garment down, stand there, and say, this is now my home. I have moved. I declare this to be my home. Pick it up, go another quarter mile. You can go 20 miles that way. Makes their own rules of none effect. Loopholes, they're called. But anyway, it's approximately a quarter mile, a Sabbath day's journey. And we know that he ascended up into heaven from the Mount of Olives. Isn't it interesting that back here in Zechariah chapter 14, it says, his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, and when he comes back and his feet stand on the Mount of Olives, every saint, every one of his people will be with him? How can they be with him? Something has to happen first. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is the answer to that. You see, in regard to a lot of the things that people teach about this, they just have their timing off many times. I believe we're going to rise to meet the Lord in the air. It's just a matter of when it happens. The Bible tells us very clearly, if you just study it out a little bit, it's not hard to understand. All right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in the 13th verse, he says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." See, Christians don't die, they fall asleep. Other people die. Christians fall asleep. "That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." See, others have no hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, and hope maketh not ashamed. Right? "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus." Isn't that wonderful? "Which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." There it is. He's going to bring them along. But watch what happens. As he brings them back, we're all going to be one. The bride is one when the Lord returns. There are going to be people alive that are down here doing his will. I wouldn't even try to guess how many. I just have a feeling. Doesn't amount to a hill of beans necessarily, but I've just got a feeling that the vast majority of the Christians are already up there, that there's just a remnant left down here. All right? He says, "For if we believe," I want to read that again, "that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." In other words, there's going to be no interruption, interference, or conflict at all. We're all going to be one people. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." See, it's not a secret whisking away. The secret about it is when it's going to happen, not how it's going to happen. It's not going to be a secret whisking away where nobody knows. It's going to be with a shout. Can't you see these scientists up there with their Hubble telescope? Huh? That thing's going to really see something, isn't it? That'll blow the lens right out of that thing. Praise God. Some more billions down the drain there. You know, they said that probe they sent out years ago, you know, they sent it out, I think, back in the 60s, and they had rock music on it and all kinds of different languages trying to find any life out there. And it went way out past Mars and Jupiter and all over. And they said, and it really was a good investment because it cost the average American the price of about a half of a candy bar. You know what thought hit me? I'd have rather had the half a candy bar. They're not going to find life out there other than spirits. That half a candy bar could have been a Milky Way. I think they would have been better off sending every family some Milky Way candy bars instead of going out into the Milky Way and trying to see what's going on. I think they're made by Mars, too, aren't they? All right. But if I had my ruthers, I'd just soon have had that. Anyway. Verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel." Oh, that's a loud voice, let me tell you. "And with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Now, how does that happen? God said every grave is going to be open. You see, the souls, remember we read in the book of Revelation, the souls of the martyrs are in heaven, and the souls of God's people. And to be, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But they did put a body in that ground. They dug a hole about 6 feet deep or so, and they put the person down there. Not the real essence of the person, the spirit of the person or the soul, but the body was put into the ground. And God promised to open those graves. So, if the dead in Christ are with him and yet they rise first, what happens? The soul of that person goes to that grave in a split second of time, that thing bursts wide open, and they come forth resurrected with a new, recreated body. The dead in Christ shall rise first. What a day that's going to be. I'm telling you, it is so close. It is so close now. That trumpet will sound. Come on. That voice of the archangel is going to shake the atmosphere, stratosphere, ionosphere, and all the other spheres, hydrospheres, troposphere, and all of them. And those graves will be opened. And those that the Lord brings with him will come forth. What about us? Next verse. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Isn't that wonderful? Now, what does that mean? Well, just what it says. But look at it this way also, where it talks about meeting the Lord in the air. It isn't that he's going to just take us up and we go off into some far corner of the cosmos. It has the same language that you can read other places in the Bible where, for instance, the Apostle Paul was coming to a city and the Christians in the city went out to meet him. They didn't go away with Paul. They met him and he came back to that city. You see? The same exact language in the Greek language, and I'm no expert in Greek by any means, but I can understand that much. It is the same phrase, the same words here that are used there, where if you knew that some beloved person was coming to your city and you just couldn't wait for him to get there, you just figure you know which way he's coming, you go out and meet him by the city limits, you see? And then he doesn't abort the trip, excuse the word, or he doesn't take you away from where you were, but he's coming back and you meet him and then he continues, you see? That's what it means when it says, we'll meet the Lord in the air and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, when you understand that, let's go back to Zechariah 14. You see, when you study the book of Revelation, you'll find that verses from the entire Bible will flow into it. It's not a difficult book to study, but it takes a lot of time to do it right because the whole Bible feeds into it. It's a summary of all the book of God, and it just funnels in like a flood. And you can take any of these books and bring it into the book of Revelation. We'll do it again sometime if the Lord wills, and it may take 3 years. We'll have to have church every day. Praise God. I'll tell you, if they start putting marks on people and start confiscating houses, we might live here. Who knows? I don't know what's going to happen. I know God's going to take care of us, and I don't get into fear, and I don't get into worry. Anyway. But back in the 14th chapter there of Zechariah, now it tells us in verse 6, now when this happens, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, and it says in verse 5, the last part of that verse is where I left off, and the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with thee. Praise God. Remember how they stood there? We read how they stood there and gazed into heaven, and the angel said, he's coming back the same way. The same Jesus shall so come in like manner. And we get so excited in the Spirit, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Amen. And we rise to meet him in the air and welcome him back. And then with him, we're with him, and his feet touch the Mount of Olives, it's going to split wide open, let me tell you. You wonder, well, how about the world coming to an end? The Bible gives us another account of that because we are secure with him. Isn't there a reason why he said, comfort one another with these words? So shall we ever be with the Lord? He's not going to set us down somewhere else. We're going to stay with him at that point. And he is going to destroy this world. Now, there are a lot of theories about hell, but I'll tell you something. I'll tell you what it could be. It could be that when God torches this world, that this whole earth becomes a lake of fire. The Bible says the elements will melt with fervent heat. The earth and all the works that are therein shall be burned up. You know, and I'll tell you, I don't know about geographical... about geographical locations in regard to scripture verses. The Bible says the wicked will be judged and cast into a lake of fire. We read that, didn't we? God's going to make a different, new heaven and earth where we're going to be. So for those that really love the world, wouldn't it be something if he said, okay, here it is, and it's torched. This is what you loved. This is what you made it. This is what has become under your dominion and the dominion of the one you chose to serve, Satan. Here it is. That's speculation. I'm not prophesying. I'm not saying that's the way it is. It could be. But I know one thing. I don't want any part of it. No matter where it is or what it is, it sounds bad to me, and I don't want it. I just thank God I've got enough sense to not want it. Some people don't. You know, looking at how bad that is and how extremely good and wonderful our inheritance is, it ought to make you drop sin like a hot potato. I said it ought to make you drop sin like a hot potato. It isn't worth it. I don't care what it is or how much is in it. It isn't worth it. Nothing can be compared to the glory and the blessing and the great and wonderful things the Lord has in store for us. Now, isn't that great? Let's read a couple more verses here. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 6, and it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord. See, here's our inheritance now that he's talking about. You're wondering, how about all this destruction? Oh, you can read about that over in 2 Peter. You can read about that in other places. And he'll tell us one verse here, what's going to happen to this world. Way at the end, we'll come to that. But in regard to our inheritance now, doesn't the scripture say there'll be no need for a candle? The light's going to always be there. It shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Did you ever have just a real good day? I know you've had a lot of bad ones and a lot of them that, you know, but have you ever had just everything went well? You probably had only two or three in your whole life. When you have one, you think, this is the way it's going to be all the time now, and it just almost never is, you know? When you get into that position, you think, oh, I just want these all the time. What do I have to do to get them that way? You can't have them that way down here. Every so often, the Lord will just give you a real good, good, good day to show you that it can be good, and it's going to be far better even than that. But I've had some that I can remember. I'd look at the clock and say, well, this day is going to be gone. It'd just be nice if it didn't end. Everything's going so great. You know, nobody's after me. The bills are all paid. Nobody's bothering me. Everything is just wonderful. I feel good. Boundless energy. It's wonderful. You have days like that sometimes. You don't want them to end. Well, just multiply that infinitely greater and then realize it never will end. It's one day. One perfect day. It isn't going to end. It's eternity. Amen. I mean, just that exhilarating feeling of boundless energy that you once in a while have. And as we get older, we have fewer of those. But, amen, our youth is renewed like the eagle. Praise God. If we can find those days here when we wait upon the Lord and renew our strength and mount up with wings as eagles. Amen. The only reason I can think of being able to do what I'm doing today, right now, after having worked about 20 hours yesterday on the newsletter and then at the university and then 4 hours of sleep, I was just out of it earlier. All I can say is that it's got to be God, because I feel like I've had about 10 hours of sleep. So it has to. I don't know how I'm going to feel later. I don't, but right now it's fine. I really believe that verse, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Well, if it's in there, I believe it, because I believe the Bible. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but I am a Bible believer. Let's just set that record straight. Every book, every chapter, every verse, all of it, I believe it. Amen. And so it tells us, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem. Now notice this. God promised Abraham and his other servants and other children a perfect land that floweth with milk and honey. You know, they never really found that on earth. It's going to be in heaven. Did you know there's a Jerusalem in heaven? He calls it that, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from God out of heaven. Comes down to where? The new heaven and the new earth, you see. There will be cities in it. Remember how he talked about the reward? And he said, thou hast been faithful over a little. Be thou ruler over 10 cities. Be thou ruler over 5 cities and so forth. Or is it 2 cities? I don't recall exactly right now. But anyway, the rewards vary, but there are cities. It's not going to be floating around on marshmallow-like clouds strumming a little golden harp with little wings that you sprout. That's not it. Scripture says that we will plant and we'll harvest and we'll long enjoy the work of our hands. It's a perfect, absolutely perfect earth. And if I'm building, I don't know, I'm just speculating here, but we have to sometimes try to get some kind of a picture in our mind. Can you imagine building a house and never hitting your thumb with a hammer? Huh? I don't know what's all going to be there. But it does say they will long enjoy the work of their hands. You read about it in Isaiah. How was the Garden of Eden? Nothing would hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. That's not going to just last 1,000 years. That's going to never end. Come on. They try to put that in a framework of having it in this world for 1,000 years, and that's it, and then something else later. No, no. That's forever. And the lion and the lamb be together, not hurt each other. Well, the lamb wouldn't hurt the lion anyway, but you know what I mean. Isn't that great? Nothing shall hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Mount Zion. What is Mount Zion? That's where the church is. All right? And it says, and it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. Praise God. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And in that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. I believe God is going to make the new heaven and new earth, and the new earth is going to be patterned after what he promised to Abraham. Isaac and Jacob. That's why you have talk about Jerusalem and all these geographical locations, except it's going to be perfect. No parasites, right? No destroyers of any kind. No decay, no death, no destruction. And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate, unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, from the tower of Hananel, unto the king's wine presses. He has all these geographical locations here. Because he is making, when God had the children of Israel make the tabernacle in the wilderness, what did they pattern it after? The one in heaven. When the temple was made, what was it patterned after? The one in heaven. You see? And when God made promises to Abraham about inheriting this beautiful land with milk and honey, and names were given to the cities and the regions and so forth, you see? God gave them the boundaries, didn't he? Didn't he tell them it's going to go so far this way, and that's going to be given to Dan, and this one's going to be given to Ephraim, and he had it all mapped out for them, right? God set the boundaries. Do you think that that could be after a pattern of what would be in the new earth? Not the new age, now the new earth. You see? There's a pattern that God has. When he makes the new heaven and earth, there's a pattern. Now, verse 11 says, and men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Why? No devil, no wicked people. And this shall be the plague. Here's how the Lord is going to destroy this present world. There are a lot of other places in the Bible you can read about this world being destroyed, but here it is in a verse. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Now you will know it. What is Jerusalem in a spiritual sense, which is the only sense that matters? Is the church of Jesus Christ. Proof of that is in Hebrews chapter 12. Is the church, the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, the church of Jesus Christ. That is Jerusalem. Because in the same verse, he says it is the heavenly Jerusalem, or Jerusalem, Mount Zion, it's also called, where all of God's people are, the 144,000 representing all of them, 12 times 12 times 1,000, remember? Isn't it great to have that understanding? The whole Bible comes to life when you wash out all the sludge of Schofieldism. I'll tell you, it comes to life. No more big question marks anymore. Praise God. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. That's you and I and every Christian. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Notice they don't fall down. It happens so fast. There's such a rapid, destructive power that their flesh consumes away before they have a chance to fall down. And their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. I'll tell you, I don't want to stand among those people. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth he meditate day and night. Remember? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind driveth away. Let me tell you something. You look at the first part of that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The day is coming when their eyes are going to consume away in their skulls, and their tongue is going to consume away in their mouth, and the flesh is going to melt off their body. God help us to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, safe with him, forever with the Lord, rather than stand with that wicked multitude that are going to be destroyed. Think about it. There's no remedy for that one, is there? Now, we're doing well here. Praise God. Got a little time left. Let's go back to Revelation 22. Now, verse 6. I should mention one more thing here. Notice in verse 4 how it says they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. When it says they shall see his face, when you use the expression, he has seen the king's face, that means extreme favor. And if you're not allowed to see the king's face, it means that you are basically disowned or disfavored. Now, how do we know that? Well, there's an interesting verse in 2 Samuel 14, if you care to look at it, in regard to Absalom. I'll just allude to it here. You can look it up. You can mark it down if you want to remember it. But in 2 Samuel 14, 24 and verse 32, 2 Samuel 14, verse 24 and also verse 32, Absalom desires to see the king's face. Why? To see what he looks like? No, he was a king's son. He knew what he looked like. But the king said, he will not see my face. And Absalom wanted to see his face. Why? Because to see the king's face meant that everything was all right. And it wasn't. Because Absalom was a traitor. and was guilty of insurrection. You see? Here the Bible says, we shall see his face. Isn't that great? You know what that's saying? That verse is saying everything's all right between us and God. We're in his favor. We're welcome. We shall see his face. Amen. You know, that thrills me because the Bible tells us that there was never a prophet like Moses. Never was there a prophet like the man Moses who saw God face to face. He's the only man in the world that ever saw him that way. You see? In all the Old Testament, he's the only one. Now, I wanted to explain that verse because we don't want to let these things get past us. Now in verses 6 through 13, let's read that. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, here's the Lord speaking, behold, what does it mean to behold something? To see it. We're going to see him when he comes back. Behold, I come quickly. Quickly. Suddenly. As the Germans would say, plötzlich. Suddenly. Quickly. Behold, I come quickly to an unsuspecting world, to a disbelieving world, but yet within that world to a people who wait for him and look for him and are still serving him and still giving him the glory instead of worshiping nature, worshiping the creator of nature. You see? A people, a remnant who are still with it. Praise God. The world will keep doing what it's doing. Everything will go on just like it was. The airplanes will fly. The ships will sail. All the things will happen. And all of a sudden, in an instant of time, that's it. Just that fast. Behold, I come quickly. Quickly. It's over. You see? That's fast. As a matter of fact, we find it described by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. You know, some guy actually measured that once with some equipment, some scientist. So the eye twinkles in a seventh of a second. 1/7 of 1 second. Well, if you want to get that technical, fine. It's pretty fast. But in the twinkling of an eye, and that's it. No time for repentance then. That's too fast for anybody to repent. Anybody here repent in a seventh of a second? I mean, that's not even... It's so fast. You understand what I'm saying? Serve God now. Live for God now. Do it consistently. You don't have to worry about a seventh of a second if you're consistently serving God. If you can't repent in a seventh of a second, then don't sin. All right? Because you don't know when it's going to be. Besides, it should not be in the heart of a Christian to sin anyway. A Christian is one who's Christ-like, and it wasn't in the heart of Christ to sin. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. All right? Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things. He's saying, I'm a witness. I saw these things. He's not a Jehovah's Witness, I guarantee you. All right? He's a witness of God. And I saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. This is beautiful. Listen to this. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not. Now notice, this one that he thought was an angel isn't an angel. One of the prophets was a human being, and he couldn't tell that one from an angel. That's how you're going to be if you just stay faithful to God as the angels. For I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets. I wonder which one it was. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Jeremiah, Isaiah. I wonder which one. I guess we don't know. We will, but we don't right now. But look at that. He thought it was an angel showing him these things, and it was one of the prophets. It was a man who at one time was a human being, just like you and I. And now he couldn't be distinguished from an angel. And look at all the foolishness in the world that people give that up for. It isn't worth it. He says, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. What does this book say? Worship God. What does this book say? Don't sin. What does this book tell us? And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. God help us. When I was a Lutheran, they said, we're not going to study Revelation because nobody can understand it. They sealed it up. The Bible says, don't do that. Why would God give it to us if we couldn't understand it? The reason people can't understand it is they're void and minus. Void of and minus the Spirit of God. They have it not. You see? the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. See, that's when all repentance is over. That's when the trumpet sounds. There's no more time. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. You see, there's no crossing the line. There's no back and forth. It's one thing or the other. It doesn't mix. Holiness and sin don't mix. All right? You're either here or there. You can't be here and there at the same time. Amen. And behold, I come quickly. He says it again. He says it again. A second time now. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his works shall be. I am Alpha and Omega. Those are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. Alpha and Omega. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they which do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Now, what about that tree of life? Remember way back in Genesis, how the Lord put an angel to guard the way, to keep the way of the tree of life? And what did he say? Lest they eat of it and live forever. Now, what is he saying? You have right to go ahead and eat. Now you can, because when you do, you live forever. And I'll tell you, you'll forget all about that fruit that Eve picked once you take a bite out of this one. Can you imagine standing there and taking a big bite out of that fruit? Come on. Boy, that's one I'm after. Hallelujah. I walk through the produce section of the store and see all that stuff in there. That's not what I'm after. I'll buy a few bananas here and there or something, but that's just to get me by. I'm looking forward to this one. I'm liable to swallow it whole. Praise God. Amen. For without, what's on the outside? Our dogs. And that's not the Humane Society. Our dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers. Are they out there right now? Oh, yeah. They're all around us. You know what a sorcerer is? That's not some guy that puts on a pointed hat and goes into a dark place, you know, with little crescent moons on it. Not necessarily so. You know, like Merlin the Magician. A sorcerer, the word sorcery comes from the Greek word pharmakia. And it means the use of drugs for occult purposes. The dispensing of drugs for occult purposes. Are drugs being dispensed in this country for occult purposes? Dr. Timothy Leary, that perverted scientist from Harvard, remember? Turn on, tune in, drop out. Lysergic acid diethylamide, commonly known as LSD. He introduced it. Something where a teaspoonful is over 100,000 doses. That's how powerful it is. It's coming back, by the way. They're having trouble with it in Milwaukee. And you know what he said? Dr. Timothy Leary, of all people, made the statement and said, when you use LSD, you're not hallucinating. You're seeing something that's always there anyway, but it gives you the power to see it. What's he saying? You cross over the bridge that's over the troubled waters. And those things are there in the spirit world. You cross into the spirit world. Those things really exist. You wonder about the DTs that people get from too much alcohol? Those pink elephants and green snakes and things like that. You know what? Those are demonic manifestations. That's what drugs do. The scientists say, oh, well, your mind does this, and there's chemical reactions in the brain and imbalances, and they got all kinds of explanations for it. And they can put it under a microscope if they want to and write down all the notes they want. I don't care what they say. It's sorcery. Drugs for occult purposes, you see? And here it tells us about sorcerers, and they're outside. They're not in the kingdom of God. We could go on for a long time. There are many examples of sorcery in the land today. Dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So how many do we have there if you count them up? Dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, lovers of lies, and makers of lies. Seven of them. Some people love lies, and some people love to make up lies, and some people love to hear lies. Now, he says in verse 16, I, Jesus. He's identifying himself. Oh, by the way, you wonder about those dogs there, why it says dogs? Because in metaphor, a dog is a representation of all things unclean, all unclean animals, rather. Did you know that? You may say, oh, you mean that cute little pooch? Yeah, dogs. You watch a dog sometime. What do they do? The Bible says, give not that which is holy unto dogs. or cast your pearls before swine, pigs and dogs, or as the German would say, Schweinhund, which means pig dog or dirty dog, in other words. You watch those dogs, they'll go out there and they'll find an old rotten rabbit that somebody shot and didn't find, and they'll eat it. Things lay in there 2-3 days, and they'll eat that thing, and then they'll walk around and they'll their snout down in the nose down in the grass, maybe eat a little grass, and all of a sudden, blah, out it all comes. There'll be that pile of dog vomit from that rabbit that they ate. Now you're not hungry, are you? Might as well stick around a while. And there'll be that pile of dog vomit there from that old rotten, stinking rabbit, you know, that was laying in the field. And what'll happen, that dog will walk away and he'll get thinking about that again. See? And he'll get thinking about that meat, that recycled whatever, and he'll go back and he'll eat it again. And you know what? The Lord said that's just how some people are. If some people do the same thing, that just as a dog returns to its own vomit, they'll go back to the sin and do it again. It happens. They'll get their paycheck for 2 weeks and go out and blow it in the bar and find themselves laying out in the parking lot somewhere the next morning with it all gone. And the next check they get, they'll be out there again. That's a dog going back to the vomit. They had a bad experience, but they'll go back to the bad experience. And back again, and again, and again, until the Lord delivers them and helps them. That's what sin does. Now, I just wanted to mention that. In fact, we'll look up one verse. There are a number of verses we could look up in regard to dogs, but I just got to show you this one. Deuteronomy 23:18. If you go back there, in the Old Testament, the 23rd chapter, Deuteronomy, verse 18. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog. What a comparison between the two, huh? Into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow. For even both these are abomination unto the Lord thy God. They make special mention of that. The hire of a whore, the price of a whore, is not acceptable to God. God cares about how you get your money. If anybody in this congregation is dumb enough to play the lottery and win on it, don't bring your tithe here. I don't care if it's millions. I don't want it. Because it's not from God. Let me repeat that. If anybody here is dumb enough to play the lottery and win it, I don't care if you got a $500,000 tithe. I'd rather work at the university than take that. And if you don't believe it, you go ahead and win it and we'll see. Oh, but you changed your mind when you saw them big bills. Try me. I learned a long time ago money doesn't mean much to me. As long as I can keep my family clothed and fed and have enough to pay the bills, that's fine. I don't have any desire for a lot of money. If I had desires for a lot of money, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. If I had lust for money, let me tell you, I could leave this country with millions of dollars this week and go to hell for it. Combinations to safes, keys. It doesn't take long to get in a place. But you know, I never think about it until we talk about something like this, just to tell you. But it never crosses my mind to even do something like that. If I see somebody drop a nickel, I'll give it back to them. I was standing over here at Hardy's restaurant, and I bought a little sandwich, you know, and I gave a $5 bill to she was real busy working there. She gave me a $10 bill back, and I said, oh, you didn't even, I stopped her. I said, hey, that isn't right. I said, I gave you a $5, you give me a $10 back. She says, oh, I'm sorry. I said, well, that's all right, you know. I said, I can't do that. It's dishonest. And besides that, you'd get in trouble. Your till is off. You know, these people were standing around looking at me like I was nuts. Like, you idiot, you. Take it and run. A free sandwich and more money besides, and you're giving it back? I like to sleep at night. All night long I'd be thinking, you thief, you thief. I might even forget and say it all loud. Anyway, back to Revelation. I want to hurry and finish this up without sacrificing any information here. So here we have, I'll just finish reading, and I want to make a couple of comments and we'll close. In verse 16, the Lord says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. Not just the offspring, but the root. The before and the after, and the bright and the morning star, and the spirit, and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Remember that rich man and Lazarus? That rich man just wanted a drop of water. That's right. And here this invitation comes, all the water you want, the water of life freely. The scripture says there was a certain rich man. There was a certain rich man. That's right. And then, of course, Lazarus is mentioned by name.
But you see, when the Lord's giving something, sometimes parables, people think our parables aren't parables. You see what I'm saying? And you can tell a difference if you just look at it. When the Lord says there was a certain man, it's because there was a certain man. He was a man certain. He was real. Okay? Just so we understand that. You know, people who live and wallow in sin are afraid of a doctrine like that. But if you live for God, you've got nothing to fear. Roosevelt said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. No, he's got something else. There's something else. It says, fear not him which is able to destroy the body, and after that there's nothing he can do. But rather, fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Fear him, you see. So he says, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And then he says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Remember those? And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, now notice some churches have taken the whole book out, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, notice now, for the third time, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Surely I come quickly. Amen. That means so be it. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Notice the blend of the voices of the bride and the bridegroom. What is our answer? Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. It isn't, no, wait a while. Wait till I get things straight. Not yet, Lord, not yet. No. If you're in the bride of Christ, if you're in the church, your voice is consistently, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And the only way it can be consistently, even so, come, Lord Jesus, is if the sin is out of your life. Otherwise, you couldn't say that. Because you know what you'd be getting, and you couldn't say it. So that's not the voice of the bride. The voice of the bride is a voice of a holy, chaste, pure, virgin for Christ, dressed in white spiritually. You see? As a bride that waiteth for her husband. That's the kind that will say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That's how he ends the book. Now, notice it says he's the root and the offspring of David. Because Jesus produced the spiritual race of David. Amen. And you know, he said that he is the bright and the morning star. That's because that is the very first thing that rewards those who watch for the morning. Before the sun comes up, there's always a star there. There's always a morning star. Sometimes it's the planet Jupiter, in a natural sense now. Sometimes it's Venus. But there's always a morning star that comes up. It's visible right before the sunrise. Sometimes, just momentarily, it's the planet Mercury, which is quite small, so you can't see it very well. But usually, whatever planet it is at that time, depending on the position of the Earth, the morning star always precedes the rise of the sun, the dawning of the new day, the coming of the Lord. And he says he is the morning star. Now, I want to close with one more verse. If you want to read something more about that, those who watch for the morning, Psalm 130, verse 6. Psalm 130, the sixth verse, will tell you about that. But in closing, I want to turn to 2 Peter 1 and read one verse. One verse. That's such an important verse. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. What does this mean? Oh, this is a beautiful portion of Scripture. Because we have a more sure word of prophecy. The whole witness of prophecy shines on the outside, all around us. But God doesn't confine it to the outside around us. There is a light that shines in a dark place that otherwise would be very dark. It's the heart of man, your heart and my heart. And except the Lord had given us light, we would be in darkness. Even though the prophecy, the light of the prophecy of God's book on the outside is all around us, he's put within us. Notice where the morning star rises, the day star, in the heart, on the inside, not on the outside. Do you follow that? The bright and the morning star rises in the heart. That's Jesus Christ, the bright and the morning star. who rises in your heart to give you light. He says your whole body shall be full of light. Didn't he say that? Talking about the light of the body is the eye and so forth. If thine eye be evil, then you'll have evil within. You see? But if you have righteousness within, if you have light within. Notice what else he said. If that light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Why? Because the witches and the occultists call Lucifer, Satan, the morning star. And he doesn't deserve that title. And I'm here to come against it this morning. Jesus Christ is the bright and the morning star. He's the one who has risen in my heart and in your heart. And that's why you're here, to lift you up, to give you light, not only without, not just the external all around you, but there's light on the inside of you, the day star rising in your heart, which precedes the coming forth of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the new heaven and new earth. Would you stand with me? So we have external light and we have internal light. And the voices of the Spirit and the bride are joined together, rejoicing in his coming. And this book was completed and the command was given. Don't add to it and don't take away from it. Read it and believe it, but don't tamper with it. It's given by God, and as I see it, is the most urgent of books for our day. Not to minimize the others, for they all flow into it, but they all come together in Revelation, the book of New Testament prophecy. Praise God. Now, the final words of Jesus, his last words spoken in the Bible, are surely, I come quickly. Those are his final words, as recorded in the Bible. The final words of the bride, even so come, Lord Jesus. And the final words of John, the writer who wrote by the inspiration of God, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Undeserved love, grace, be with you all. Amen. We come before his throne of grace with boldness. We find grace to help in time of need. We're going to join together in prayer in closing today. Amen. And I think we'll sing a chorus. After we pray and sing, feel free and at liberty in the Holy Ghost to find a place to pray. Whatever your burdens are, our God is bigger. Your God is bigger than all of that. He'll help you. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you today that we can be here, that we can stand in thy presence, O Lord, as believers, as Christians, as those who have a hope in the heart, of those, O Lord, that have the day star rising within our hearts, looking and longing for your soon coming. I pray, O God, that you would help us to be completely sincere with you. I come against all hypocrisy and all doubt, all fear and unbelief. Help us to be a people that are minded to serve you, of one mind, not double-minded, but of pure heart. Help us, O Lord, to be a determined people to do thy will, O God, for we know that you will work with us and help us. Guide and direct us as we commend ourselves into your gracious and almighty hands. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us and use us to thy glory. Help us to seek your kingdom first and your righteousness, knowing that all the other things will be added. We give you the glory and the praise, asking that your holy angels also would be round about us on all sides, and that you would keep us from all evil, from all harm, from all danger, and in your perfect care, doing your will. Let the words, O Lord, that we have heard, let them be fire in our mouths, and let this world be wood. I pray, O God, that all that would resist would... all those, O Lord, that would come against us would fall. I pray, O Lord, that you would save the souls, that you would help them, O God, that those that would resist and fight would fall before you, that, O Lord, you're the Savior, and that they would be those that would look into your word. I pray, O God, that you would help them to consider their ways. O Lord, I pray for the lost. I ask you, O God, to help them, to save them. But let their works perish, and let holiness fill your people. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.